O God, you have made this most holy night to shine in the brightness of the true light, Jesus Christ our Lord. Grant that as we have known on earth the mysteries of that light, may we also come to the fullness of his joys in heaven. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
We'll hear our Christmas lessons for this morning, this afternoon.
Our first lesson for Christmas Eve comes from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, chapter 7, and we begin reading in verse 10. And again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of your Lord. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm for today is Psalm 110, verses 1 through 4, and we'll read it responsively. The Lord said to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand
until I make your enemies your footstool."
The Lord will send the scepter of your power out of Zion,
saying, "Rule over your enemies round about you."
Princely state has been yours from the day of your birth.
In the beauty of holiness have I begotten you, like dew from the womb of the morning.
The Lord has sworn, and he will not recant.
You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Our epistle reading, our New Testament lesson, is from 1 John chapter 4, beginning in the 7th verse. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's stand and sing "Joy to the World," that great Christmas hymn.
Nature sing.
Please remain standing for the reading of the Holy Gospel, Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 25. Glory to you, O Lord. The birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Well, it sure is a season of babies, at least for our family. We just returned from San Jose for the birth of our sixth grandson. His name is Xander. He came in at 7 pounds, 2 ounces, 20 and a half inches long, and the Apgar scores were amazing and all of that. So it was wonderful. Our daughter John is doing fine. Baby's doing fine. We beat the storms. We just got back after midnight on Monday to see our car in a glacier, basically, and we chopped our way out of that and made our way back to Rochester. But that's phase one of the baby story. We have another one coming due December 31st. Karn in the Gainesville, Florida area is due that time, and we're going to take off the day after Christmas, the 26th, so pray for us that we'll beat the storms. And I've never driven to Florida before. Some of you maybe have, and it's a new adventure for us. But even though we've got one on the West Coast and one coming on the East Coast, nothing was going to stop us from witnessing the births of these babies. Nothing at all was going to stop us. Babies can change everything. It changes your whole schedule, doesn't it? Young parents realize that now that they have a baby, that they're no longer the center of attention. The baby's the center of attention. And parents will move heaven and earth in order to take care of that child and make sure that it's happy. I tell people that our children helped us grow up as human beings because we no longer can be as selfish and self-centered like we once were once before. And our attention now is on our children, raising them in the fear and admonition of the Lord and get to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Christmas is certainly a time for babies in our family. But Christmas long ago ushered in a special, special baby that changed everything. It was when God became a baby. Imagine that. Mary and Joseph's lives were turned upside down. And it began with the announcement of the angel Gabriel that Mary would become the mother of the Savior of the world. And Mary was afraid at first, but Gabriel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus." Mary said, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." And in the end, Gabriel said, "With God, nothing is impossible." Nothing is impossible. And isn't that the core message of Christmas, that with God, nothing is impossible? Demonstration number one, the babe born in Bethlehem. Nothing is impossible with God. And this baby born in Bethlehem did change everything. It turned everything upside down in our human expectations. Our gospel text shows how God overcomes those expectations. And right away, We have a scandal brewing. Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but Mary was with child. She was pregnant, we would say, out of wedlock. Oops. We might think, no big deal, they're engaged, people sleep together before they're married anyway in today's world. But in Jewish culture, being betrothed meant they were legally husband and wife, except that they were not to have sex. Being betrothed was a binding contract, which often lasted a year so that financial arrangements can be met and a home established. Pregnant, out of wedlock, the shame of Jewish society is going to fall upon this young couple. And Joseph could by all means have her stoned for adultery. But it says, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, he planned to have her sent away secretly. In other words, divorce. He still cared for Mary, but he was ready to send her away. But the turning point in this Christmas story is that an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and explained God's miraculous plan to Mary, to take Mary as his wife, because she is going to fulfill the prophecy and bear a son whose name is Emmanuel. Joseph was obedient, willing to face the ire of his own family and Jewish society, and he took Mary as his wife in spite of the scandal of this supposed adulterous situation. Oh, we love the beauty of Christmas. I'm there with you. Love the beauty, the lights, the spectacular scenery, the cozy scene of Jesus being born in a manger, in a stable with cattle lowing and adoring parents in a little town of Bethlehem. But I invite you to take a fresh look at this Christmas story. Revisit a situation that should not have happened by human standards. A scandalous situation. And yet this baby changed everything, because this baby is God in human flesh. God in human flesh, and with God, nothing is impossible. And even if you've never heard the real Christmas story before, and maybe this is the first for you to really get to the nitty-gritty, you have to admit that it's very compelling. A king born not in a palace in the holy city of Jerusalem, but in a humble setting with poor parents in a little town of Bethlehem, a no-count town. The ancient author Angelus Silesius wrote, "All things are now reversed. The castle's in the cave. The crib becomes a throne. The night brings forth the day. The virgin bears a child. Oh, let all reflect and say that heart and mind must be reversed in every way." This is preparing our hearts for a real Christmas by reversing our expectations of what is. So I look at this and see that there's nothing that this God wouldn't do to show the extent of his love for us. John 1 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." In other words, he tabernacled with us, he tented with us, he remained with us, abided with us. God came in human flesh to be with us in all of our circumstances, good and bad. And this is the good news of Christmas, what we call the incarnation. In the incarnation, God became a tiny babe. He took on flesh so that we might know that we're not alone in our struggles and in our hardships. The good news this Christmas is that God is with us in a way that absolutely changes everything. And that is cause for joy even when the world around us looks frightening and out of control. Somehow we know that this is no ordinary story, because with eyes of faith, we know it counters what we would expect of a God who is all powerful and should act in mighty ways. And this is no ordinary story, because this vulnerable, helpless baby was God's way to say, "I love you, even when you feel helpless. I love you, even when you feel vulnerable and out of control. I love you, even when it seems everything is against you." 2 Corinthians 12 says this to all of us. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made manifested in weakness, made perfect in weakness. What greater demonstration of God's power in weakness as we see this weak, helpless baby in a manger? This is the God we worship this Christmas, knowing that God will spare nothing to show his love for you and me. He will go to the nth degree to find us out and draw us to himself. No one is exempt from his love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing. You see, nothing is impossible with God. He saved a wretch like you and me, didn't he? Maybe it's beyond human understanding that God became human. That's why God asks us to believe, to take God at his word, and to know that he understands us. He understands us. And since we know he understands, we can boldly go to him. Because of Bethlehem's miracle, we can answer these fundamental questions. Does God care if I'm sad? Look at the tear-streaked face of Jesus as he stands before Lazarus's tomb. Does God notice when I'm afraid? Notice the resolve in the eyes of Jesus as he marches through the storm to rescue his friends. Does God know if I'm ignored or rejected? Find the answer in the compassionate eyes of Christ as he stands to defend the adulterous woman. Christmas is getting a glimpse of what God is like and what he cares about. Jesus, our Savior, radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. Jesus himself stated, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Anyone who has seen me weep has seen the Father weep. Anyone who has seen me laugh has seen the Father laugh. Anyone who has seen me determined has seen my Father determined." Would you like to see God? Would you really? Take a look at Jesus. God is distant no more. This is the Christmas story. God coming to us and staying with us for eternity as Emmanuel. Nice name for a church, isn't it? God with us. Christmas, a story of a baby who changes everything. This Christmas story of a baby born amongst cattle and donkeys, about angels announcing to shepherds where to find the baby, about shepherds singing in the streets as they went back to their sheep after seeing the baby Jesus. It's a beautiful story that captures the hearts of adults and children alike. But this story is not told as the Bible in the Bible because it's has a fairy tale-like quality and to make us all feel warm inside. This is a story about the aching heart of God for his people. This is a story of God rolling up his sleeves and getting down amongst the problems of the world and doing something about it. This is a story about a baby who was born to bring salvation and rescue you and me by giving his own life. You see, it's out of love for humans that God became human. He left the sanctity of heaven to dwell amongst sinners needing saving. There's an old gospel hymn that says, "Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross my Savior made me whole, my sin was washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul." Jesus died to change us, to give us new life, a changed heart that is loving, kind, understanding, and forgiving, and to live as God designed us to live. And so out of obedience to God, like Joseph and Mary, we take God at his word and take this Jesus in our hearts this Christmas. We kneel at the manger and sing, "Oh, come to us, abide with us. Be born in us today." Through you, God can change your family, your workplace, and your community. May this same baby who grew up to live and die and live again for us change us this Christmas and transform each of us into his image that we might glorify our Father in heaven. It's not just a story. It's not just a fairy tale. He is real and is here to forgive right now. Forgive right now our sins and heal our brokenness. So let's truly celebrate the birth of Jesus, the baby who changes hearts and who brings peace to all people. So we're grateful to spend our very first Christmas with you good people at Emmanuel, and look forward to sharing what we treasure in our hearts, what the prophet long foretold of a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. On behalf of Debbie, Carl, and myself, we wish you a very Merry Christmas to you and your family. May Christ be born in our hearts today. I'd like to share a song by Faith Hill. It's my title of the sermon was A Baby That Changes Everything, and there's a song that says just that. So contemplate what Mary must be going through with this announcement.
Teenage girl, much too young, unprepared for what's to come. A baby changes everything.
Let it be done to me according to your word.
Not a ring on her hand, all her dreams and all her plans. A baby changes everything. A baby changes everything. has turned around. I was lost, but now I'm found. A baby changes everything. A baby changes everything.
I invite you to stand as we confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, and notice that word incarnate of the Holy Spirit as we talk about the incarnation. Let's confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for the prayers of the church.
And now let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, as you sent the angels and shepherds to proclaim the news of your Son's birth on that holy night in Bethlehem, we pray that you send us with the message of your word today to announce anew the good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, you sent your holy angels to proclaim the wonders of your grace and the word, to announce anew the good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. In hearing again the story of our Savior's birth, may our lives be shaped by your presence among us. Lead us to make known in both words and deeds the love that you have given to us through Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And today we pray for leaders and those who govern around the world. We pray that their hearts may be stirred by the good news of your glorious coming among us in Emmanuel, so that those leaders may govern with justice and compassion for all, especially for the weak and vulnerable, for the government shall be upon his shoulders. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, you are the giver of life, and we thank you for bringing us into this world and for placing us in families. We pray for doctors, for nurses, for the midwives, for women who are preparing to give birth, for adoptive and foster parents, and for children with special needs. We pray for couples also who have unable to have children, families who now grieve the loss of a child. And Father, here on this Christmas Eve, we beseech you, merciful Father, that we would ask for safety and comfort and patience for all those who are traveling in this hazardous weather conditions throughout the country, and for all who need food, shelter, love, and your care. Help us in all circumstances to commend our joys and our concerns to your care. And now we pray for those in our hearts that we name silently and aloud.
Judy,
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.